That Fighting Sioux headline there from North Dakota isn't the only bit of news from that state. Veteran Democratic Senator Byron Dorgan from North Dakota avoided all of the election cliffhangers early this month by announcing his retirement months ago. That bit of a shock for the Democrats has become considerable relief, though, for this lawmaker who has been in the Senate since 1992 and is looking forward to some new challenges. Senator Dorgan is the author of Reckless: How Debt, Regulation, and Dark Money Nearly Bankrupted America. If he's looking forward to more books, perhaps in a sequel, he might lose the word nearly from his next book. For a Takeaway Exit interview, Senator Byron Dorgan joins us now from D.C. Senator, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. After serving in Washington for 30 years in the state of North Dakota, which economically is doing pretty well right now, are you going out on the top of your game, or are you leaving us all in the lurch here, having to deal with this economy and the difficulties in Congress right now?
Well, I think it's for other people to assess where my game is. You know, it's been a great privilege, a great gift to be able to serve in public office. But you know what? I have served in statewide elective office continuously since age 26. I've been doing this a very long time, and I want to have another chapter in my life, and I finally decided about a year ago that I really didn't want to make another commitment for 7 years, this year plus six more, and so I announced that I was not going to seek re-election. But it has nothing to do with the Congress. It has to do with my interest in having another chapter in my life outside of public service.
What does it say that a Republican won your seat?
Well, my state has always been a Republican state. I'm a Democrat who has run statewide 12 times. I've been very successful and, you know, very privileged to represent my state. But the state is a Republican state. It has, I think, only voted for two Democratic candidates for president in 100 years, FDR and LBJ.
You know, I wonder, you had other colleagues who left the Congress because they said they'd had enough, that the partisanship was so bad in Washington that they couldn't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And although you've said that that's not the reason that you're leaving, I'm wondering if you hear echoes of that of your own sentiments.
Well, you know what? I have my own views of what's gone on in Congress, but I just did not want to leave while adding to the burdens of the institution. I have great fondness and respect for the institution of the Congress. We've been through very tough times. These are very, very partisan times, and it's hard to get things done. If you get nourishment from accomplishment, it's pretty hard to be nourished serving in the Congress these days. So there's no question that this is a difficult time, and things need to get fixed so that we can do what's necessary to put the country back on track. But that's not why I'm leaving.
What about taking part in what your former colleague, Alan Simpson of Wyoming, has done on this Presidential Budget Commission? It seems to me that in grappling with the budget, he's suggesting things that he might never have offered mm-hmm. as an actual senator. Do you have more opportunities to be candid and to be maybe constructive in your criticism of Washington than when you're in office?
I think that's probably true, and I intend to be involved in things that I think represent the public good. I've spoken to the president, and we have a lot of problems, and if to the extent that I'm called on to work on things that represent the public good, I intend to continue to do that.
So let's conduct an exit interview here, all right?
All right.
Senator Dorgan, you're going to have to get used to riding in the front seat of cars as opposed to be the back seat where you're being driven around. Are you ready for that?
Well, first of all, that's not true. I don't ride in the back seat. I drive my own car.
Nice.
If I'm leaving the Hart Building to go give a speech downtown on on H Street, guess who's driving? I am. So I'm not sitting in the back seat. There is this notion that we all have limousines, and it's a notion that doesn't reflect daily life. Many of us walk down the hall trying to find just enough time to eat a tuna fish sandwich before ducking into that next hearing.
Well, let's ask you another question, which is common on exit interviews, which is, how do you think the Senate could improve its business practices?
The business practices, well, things have changed a lot, as you know, and part of it has to do with external things to the Senate. We now have a bleacher section that watches the players on the floor, and they're pretty aggressive. They have microphones on the radio and television stations, and every single day they're applying pressure to those that are playing on the Senate floor or the House floor. I just think there's a lot of partisanship that's developed. And the lubrication of progress in our democracy, the lubrication of progress in the Senate or House, is to be willing to compromise. And compromise has become a four-letter word, you know. either stand by your principles or you cave in and compromise. The fact is, for 200 years, the notion of governing has always been about compromising. Two people with very different views come together and they decide, all right, how do we resolve this? How do we find a compromise between our views? That's what we need more of, and instead we're getting less of it.
So if compromise is the lubrication, would you say that the media cycle dominated by the Keith Olbermans and the Glenn Becks of the world, which look for extremes over compromise, is more of the sand in the gas tank?
Sure, sure. The 24/7 media cycle is just, it needs to be fed. It needs to be fed every 30 minutes. And so you find the single issue that in that half-hour section seems strange, and you hold it up to the light and say, look at this. Isn't this unbelievable? Isn't this ugly? Yeah, but it's not America. It's just, you know, and we just have to try to find a way to stop entertaining ourselves with each other's dysfunctional behavior and find a way to work together for the benefit of this country.
Well, for the purposes of this exit interview, were you ever tempted to grandstand in that news cycle, and do you have regrets thinking back now over the last 30 years?
Hey, listen, everyone in politics is tempted to grandstand, don't you think?
But did you ever do it? Did you ever go on O'Reilly?
I suppose all of us took advantage from time to time. But I hope that, you know, when we look in the rearview mirror at my 30 years in the Congress, people will say he was pretty straight up and tried to do always the things that he thought would strengthen our country.
Are you staying in Washington or are you going back to North Dakota?
I want to do both. I'm going to do some things here. I'm creating a foundation dealing with, among other things, Indian children at risk, particularly teen suicide prevention, which is a huge problem on reservations across the country. I've worked a lot on Indian issues. So I'll be doing a lot of things, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, it sounds challenging, and if you're looking in your rearview mirror, it's likely to be on I-90 or 495 in Washington, D.C., or up there in North Dakota. North Dakota Senator Byron Dorgan, good luck to you.
Hey, thanks a lot.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.